This is Mitch McGarry of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast.
Good morning and welcome to episode 212 of the Down to Dunk Podcast. Guys, we're all back together. The boys are back in town.
Okay, we're doing something a little weird today.
We are, dude. We haven't seen each other. We had holidays, we had Christmas, and so guys, I thought we should celebrate by doing Down to Dunk Podcast Secret Santa.
Secret Santa.
We almost had to wait until next Christmas to do this.
Yeah, we really did. We're celebrating it now. We each were assigned a person. I assigned everyone
from the pod.
Santa's from the pod.
The original four.
It's not a secret for you.
So we're getting... No. So the secret's out.
Yeah, everybody knows who they are.
There's only four of us. It's really hard to do. So we're going to get each other... We've got each other actual presents, but then we're also going to get a Thunder player a present. And
A late Christmas present.
So I'll go first.
It's never too late for a Christmas present.
It's never. It's the spirit of giving.
It's okay? Christmas. Yeah,
there's never a wrong time for that.
Never.
Okay? All right.
So I got Kyle Singler, Thunder player, a gift. It's called. It's by John Ronson. A new book called "So You've Been Publicly Shamed." It's what to do after. You've been shamed by the internet.
Oh, wow. That's actually pretty good.
I know. So he got shamed. You know, Down to Dunk contributor, sometimes contributor, Alex Spears shamed him on the internet, on Reddit. So I got him a book to deal with that.
I still see random people referencing that.
Yeah.
Referencing that article.
That's a word.
Or that little post. Like people outside, like not Redditors, like people are on the Facebook. I saw a post the other day that said Kyle Singler was the worst player in the NBA.
It's like, true. You say true.
So that's why I got him out that book. And so I got my Secret Santa is Jay. Jay, I got you.
Oh, yeah, no. Christmas.
Yeah.
All right.
Jay Mom.
And
was it from H&M?
It's from H&M, the store, the clothing store. Because you host us at the thing, at the podcast at your home.
You host us every at the Friday. Thing. Hey, thank you for the thing.
You host the podcast. Thanks and, for making the thing. You know, you support us, and we're a bunch of characters. You know?
Yeah.
So you support a bunch of characters. So now it's time that a bunch of characters
support you. This is $1 million, Jay. You can use
it
for your family.
I'm opening. It is, a pair of underwear.
Yeah.
Oh, specifically
Looney Tunes underwear.
Oh.
Bugs Bunny, Tweety Bird, Taz, hey, are going to be supporting your
the
junk.
The first pair of boxes I ever had were Looney Tunes boxes.
Really?
I will wear these.
Welcome
They're
back.
Chunks.
That's great.
Cotton stretch.
That's right.
Wow.
And guess what? We're underwear twins. I bought myself a pair too.
Yes. I'll start wearing them every Friday.
Wearing them right now.
That's
equal.
Friday.
Equal.
So does that mean
support.
It's my turn?
Yep.
Yeah, it's your turn.
So for a Thunder gift, I was thinking real hard about something that would really transform this team. I don't know the last time that you all have played an NFL game. It's probably been a long time.
A couple weeks.
Played in an NFL game?
Yeah, or well, maybe seen one.
Oh, okay.
Like
so
minutes.
If you've ever touched a receiver's glove.
Tell me about it.
It seems a little bit unfair because they have incredible stick-em just naturally built into them. And if there's anybody on the Thunder team that could use a nice pair of stick-em gloves, my good friend Serge Ibaka.
Oh, boy.
I am sending a pair of receiver gloves to you in order for you to actually catch a freaking pass.
Yeah.
That's a good gift.
That's so a really good gift. Appreciate
that. I'll be at the game tonight. I'll probably try to throw it from the upper deck. Hopefully you receive it and catch it.
His jump shot
he
might be off a little
Let's
bit.
Let's be honest, he won't catch it. The ball may stick a little bit in the hand. Just get one hand.
Yeah.
But for my actual gift that I physically have, I literally was so excited I wanted to text everybody what it was. And I'm not even going to tell anybody what it is. I'm going to let Taylor just open it and tell
Sean.
You.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't get to keep the bag.
It's in a tote bag, and it's covered in tissue, kitchen towels.
We all did horrible wrapping jobs.
Dang it. Come on, Tayshaun.
Yeah, this is like anticlimactic here, bud.
Oh my God, it's a frame picture of Spencer Haas, and it says 58 points, 17 rebounds, Jamal Crawford Pro-Am, August 11, 2013. And then there's a quote at the bottom from Spencer Haas. Jay, you actually got a quote from Spencer Haas, and it says, "Never stop believing, Taylor." Wow. Look at this. I'll post a picture.
That's amazing.
That's an amazing gift.
Awesome.
This is actually the best gift I've got this Christmas.
If you don't know, Taylor, since that game, anytime that Spencer Haas has been brought up, we have referred back to that Pro-Am game, 58 points, 17 rebounds.
One of the best games ever played.
I don't know why it came to me, but I thought it was freaking hilarious.
Wow, that is hilarious. That's a great picture. You know what's crazy? I didn't know he also had 17 rebounds. Wow, even better than I thought.
It's quite a double-double.
Have you ever watched the highlights from that game? Because I did when I was putting this together. It was him versus a bunch of guys that looked like us. Like, of course he scored 58 points.
It really was. All right, now it's my turn.
Hey, Merry Christmas, man.
Hey, thanks, man. That was a great gift. This is for Andrew. So it's wrapped in a shirt. Wait, before you open it, I just want to say this first. There's two reasons I got this for you,
okay.
And one of them is not supposed to be like an insult. This has nothing to do with like. This is not supposed to be insulting to you. There are reasons. Now, please open.
This is my favorite gift. So you're like, okay, I really meant this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a joke gift, but.
This is a huge shirt.
Well, yeah, it's size large or extra large. It's also long sleeve.
Now that you own it.
It's got me a breast pump.
Yep, it's a manual breast pump. Now, let me explain why.
Did you buy this?
Yeah, I bought this. So
you
let
purchased
me,
this.
Yeah. So let me explain. Let me explain why. Now, Andrew, two reasons. One, Andrew's nickname is Boobs. Let me tell you how I got there. His name is Andrew Drew, Drewby Boobies, Boobtown USA, and then Boobs for short. So now I just call him Boobs all the time. So that's all I
can. I didn't know that we were making this public.
Well, it is now. If I get you a breast pump,
You've got me an actual handheld breast pump.
Yep. If you got another kid, you could probably use it too.
Well,
you can't. No, that's right. This is for you, not for anyone else. Now, second reason, you're my friend, you're my buddy, and Bill Walton says one of the greatest experiences in life is to get milked. And I want you to get milked, my friend.
Oh, get milked.
Get milked.
Goodness, that's a great reason.
You purchased a breast pump.
I did. I went to Walmart and I only purchased a breast pump.
Oh, I almost threw up from laughing.
Well, I was kind of glad I didn't like walk into someone I didn't know because they're like, "Oh, Taylor has a kid now."
Oh.
like who Taylor have a baby with? And he's like going shopping for his wife, for his baby mama,
baby moms. Thanks.
Yeah, man, get milked.
Get milked. I can't wait to get milked. I'm going to unwrap this right now and try to milk myself. See how it works.
This is a great sack.
It's a great sack, yeah. It's a Christmas sack.
And I'm Andrew's. Andrew's my Secret Santa, which is very – I knew because I set it up, so I texted Andrew and said, "Hey, get me a gift."
Yep. which is great.
A little self-serving. That's all right.
All right. Do you want to set it up? Anything I need to know?
Nope. It's pretty straightforward.
It's a Waluigi.
It's a Waluigi figurine because anytime I see Waluigi, I just think of Luke.
Dude, that's great.
So
I was Waluigi one year for Halloween.
I know.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
And so I have. I don't know if I still have his hat. I don't know.
So that's great. After we send out the pod later, we will shoot out a picture of our collective gifts.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the weirdest collection of weirdest
pictures. It may just be without any sort of reference point.
No caption either.
Nope, it'll just be the picture.
This Secret Santa was like the perfect Down to Dunk Secret Santa. Like all the gifts given and who was giving them, I think it was great.
It was perfect.
I definitely made out best out of everyone.
No question. Yes. No, I don't know, man.
That's milked? Amazing.
Are you getting milked?
Well, you know, he can share his milker if he wants, but it's really for him.
That's what you do, is it?
All right, guys, that's a new yearly tradition.
Good Lord.
Yeah. I'll be using this breast pump on campaign later because I want that dude to get
milk.
Hey,
he's got to get milk too.
Man, that sounds so awful.
All right.
Awesome.
Hey, listen, let's run through. So just a reminder, we are a basketball podcast, and that's what we do most of our talk about. Specifically, the Oklahoma City Thunder. And since we last met, they played the Los Angeles Lakers. Just a kind of a disheartening little road trip they put together. They played the Lakers. They won 117-113. It was a game where they were in control for three-fourths of it and then just let Lou Williams go insane. Ended up scoring 44 points.
Almost lost that game.
Almost lost the game. And that was a Donovan. Donovan waited too long to put Robertson back in. Robertson came in and really, I mean, he did a great job on Lou Williams at that point, except for whenever he fouled him twice for and one.
I was going to say, there was a few plays that he didn't do so great.
Yeah, those weren't awesome. But Lou Williams really stopped making shots after that point. Anyway, so they ended up winning. And it was just Alex Spears put it out there on Twitter that I think the Thunder are going to lead the league in most disheartening victories. And that's one of them. And then they played Portland, and it was another game where they're in control, like total control for 3.5.
They had to make a comeback in the third quarter.
Oh, that's right. And then they went ahead by, you know, it was
a bunch.
Yeah.
They made a really great run. They did not play a good first half.
That's right. They all get fuzzy whenever it's the constant me banging my head against the wall. And then Damian Lillard.
Oh, my God.
Went nuts in the fourth quarter. Like, insane. And some of it was very frustrating because they just defensively have just been super lazy. And that's the most frustrating part about it. But some of it was Lillard made one shot, especially in transition. Robertson was coming out on him, was in his face, and he just hit it. It was one of those games where a guy gets hot and it's just game over.
I think I saw the highlight. He like shook him and then hit a step back.
It was just it was just really that 3-minute stretch.
That was it.
Like, he didn't have that great a game until that 3-minute stretch.
Yeah, if you looked at his point total, he only had 31 for the night, which is still a lot of points. But after seeing, if you would have thought just watching the fourth quarter, you're like, did he have 70 points that game?
Yeah, right.
Because he was hitting everything at that point. And the Thunder just, there was some effort issues across the board. Like, you should never be out rebounded by Mason Plumlee. Like, he had 11 rebounds in that game. And I don't know. And then they went and played Minnesota, and it was the same thing. I mean, the exact same thing. They just kind of crapped their way through the game.
Playing well enough to win.
Yep. In all three of those games. And that's
right.
That's a frustrating thing. And it's the thing, I think, that separates the teams like the Warriors and the Spurs. You know, like, they play every game like they want to win it.
Do they? I mean, the Warriors lost to the Nuggets.
Yeah, but that's Draymond was out. I mean,
if you watch them though, they're really trying to play. They're trying to kick your butt in the first half or through three quarters and then sit in the fourth.
They're just consistent. They just bring the same energy every night.
So
yeah.
Maybe that's what
I don't know that they're like really just like grinding it out. They just like know exactly what they need to do and they go do it. And they don't deviate from that.
Yeah. And then they played on Wednesday night, which was, I mean, the Thunder blew the doors off of the Mavericks, but the Mavericks didn't play a single starter.
Yeah.
But it was the most entertaining game of those because the J.J. Barea,
oh my gosh,
Russell Westbrook, Charlie Villanueva, Serge Ibaka, all that stuff.
How much do you hate J.J. Barea?
He's Patrick Beverley level, man.
I mean, it was just so stupid. It was just so ridiculous.
Some highlights. What are some highlights for you guys out of that week? What are some lowlights? What are some things you want to talk about?
From the whole week?
Well, any of those games that really stood out to you?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think we're just waiting for the Thunder to be who they were before Christmas. Because leading up to Christmas, you thought, like, oh, they're going to blow the doors off the Bulls. And, you know, they're going to look at their schedule. Like, they're just going to rip off. You know, they could be on, like, a 15-game win streak. But they're just not playing like they were before Christmas. I threw out some stats with Brian Gutierrez on Wednesday. And I mean, their effort level, like all the effort stats are just in the tank right now. There's a stat called pressure rate for Vantage Sports, and they are last in the league in pressure rate. It's basically how close are you to your man. And it's mostly a perimeter-oriented stat because you're close to your guy in the post anyways. They're dead last in the league. And they didn't rate highly before Christmas. Like, they were in the, you know, the higher 20 or the lower 20s, but they the effort level is just dead. So I felt like they did play better against the Mavs, but they played and also it's a good sign that they actually did show up versus the Mavs, because it could have been easily a night where they just jog up and down the court and still win the game and not bring it. So it was nice to see them actually bring it, even against a squad that really sucks. And that's probably really, it was a really easy win. But it's good to see that they need to, they just need to just pummel these next few teams. Like, they just need to destroy the Timberwolves tonight.
What's crazy is there's really not a game. If you look projecting forward, like, they'll be favored in every game for the rest of the month.
Yeah.
Every single game. They should play at Dallas on the 22nd. That would be one. They still should be favored, but that's one I could see, like, okay, you know, if they got their full squad, they're a good team. Yeah. They still should win.
They should win.
Yeah. They should be favored in every game until February 6th, which is a Saturday night, and they play Golden State.
Yeah.
Up until that game, they should be favored in every single one. Yeah.
I remember last week or maybe a week and a half ago, we were looking at this schedule and we were like, man, the Thunder could really go on a run. Seriously. Here, just like start killing people. I wonder if they looked at the schedule too and were like, yeah, like we're favored and we're better than all these teams. Like, let's just do it. Let's just go through January,
There's no doubt. It's January.
Yeah.
In an NBA season. There's lulls in the season. But you just see the Spurs and the Warriors. And the thing is, like, this league is so top heavy. And this is how the Warriors and the Spurs are winning so many games, is that they, first of all, they haven't had to play each other. They haven't really had to play the Thunder. And then everybody else is just kind of meh. Like, there's no other great teams. There's basically four really good teams, and that's it. And so this is like another perfect storm for the Warriors and for the Spurs to just kill teams all season, because like teams like the Clippers aren't as good, although they've been playing good lately.
And they're 10 in a row. It's crazy. But they're also not very good teams either.
Right.
Beating them instead of what we do.
You know, the Rockets aren't as good as they were. You know, the Trailblazers, although they've been playing better than we expected, they're just not nearly as good.
Suns were supposed to be better than they are.
Suns have been really bad. The Utah Jazz have taken a step back because of injuries. Like, everybody is just so much worse than anticipated. Like, the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls just aren't that good.
Yeah, the Heat, man, that's still one of the most confusing teams to me.
There's just a lot of really mediocre teams in the league this year. And not that many, there's not that many horrible teams. But it seems like everybody's just kind of mediocre, and the Thunder are kind of like the very best mediocre team the way that they're playing.
Yeah,
they should be in that top tier of the top four teams, but they haven't played like it in the last almost month.
The thing that's crazy, really, to think about is the fact that this team has always done that, right? Like, this isn't new,
right?
They've always had games that they lost that you're like, what? What were you doing? Every single year I could point to a game or two that did that. The hard thing is that they're not being compared to other Thunder teams. They're on pace for 58 wins.
Yeah.
You know, they could get up to 60 if they hit a streak like they should here in the next, 10 games. But still, what you deal with is the fact that, number one, they're compared to Golden State and San Antonio.
Right.
But you just, there's something you see on the court where it's more consistently lazy.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, where it was like they'd play one game, and there was a couple seasons in a row where they didn't like lose back to back games. Like, they would always, if they lost one, they would come out the next game and win by most of the time double digits. And what's happening here is you thought, okay, after the Lakers game, they're going to go to Portland. You know, surely they're just going to really ratchet it up on defense and pass the ball and do all those things, and they don't do it. Okay, well, they didn't do it against Portland. You know, Lily got hot, whatever. We can kind of look at those things, and I can justify them out. Well, surely they go to Minnesota and really lock it up.
No.
And they go to Minnesota and don't do it. Minnesota and don't do it again.
Students, they just do it in spurts.
Yeah.
They just thought, you know, we'll just play really well for this five-minute stretch.
And they do. And Kevin Durant was horrible in that Timberwolves game.
Up until the last.
And then he's like, I'll just hit four shots in a row. We'll go home.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's take care of
this. So there is some of that where they know what they can do to get away with. But I just hate that.
Yeah.
And it's just something that doesn't create really the consistency that you want on every level for the organization. So
Yeah.
When I watch him, I look at him and they're winning a lot of games. Obviously, they're on pace for 58. But you watch them and they don't look like a cohesive team. They look like, especially with the bench guys, it looks like there's five different players out here.
A collection of
guys. Yeah, there's just like a collection, and it's weird because it looks like we just did a huge trade and they're all trying to figure out how to play with each other. And it's been like almost a year now that these guys are playing.
Well, it's still a new
system.
Yeah, this is a brand new coaching staff. This is a brand new system. And there's, I mean, it takes time. Like, not everybody is the Warriors with Steve Kerr. And it's really tough because, like, that's, like, the last, like, really great coaching change comparison. Like, that's what you really want. Like, obviously, we would love to see Billy Donovan come in and make this team into, you know, the Warriors of last year, but they're just not. And it's going to take time. Like,
they don't have the pieces to beat. They don't have to be the Warriors is the hard thing, right?
Well, I just think that they just need to be better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They just need to be better than what they have been, and they can play the system. They can play the system.
Dallas, and Dallas wasn't very good, but you saw there was one play in particular, and I can't give you a time or when it happened, but they made six different passes on the same play, right? Like,
yeah.
Passing the ball around the perimeter quickly, moving it in and out, and doing some different things. And guess what they get? They get a wide open shot that goes down. Can't remember who made it. Maybe it was Serge or because Ennis got an offensive rebound on the series and they reinitiated the offense and it moved the ball really well. And the second team should be better than that, right? Mm-hmm. And Cam I think he stabilized some of it.
Yeah.
I think that there's some issues still with it a little bit on, I think Deion's still a little bit of a ball. Not a ball hog. He tries the pass, but he's a dribble machine. You know, that's kind of his deal. And they've got to figure out ways to get Cantor more involved consistently in that second group.
Yeah. The problem with Wedders is he can't shoot.
Yeah. He's like, gone real
like beyond
cold.
The passing and dribbling. Like, he can't shoot. Like, if he can't.
Yeah, but he can get by anybody.
Yeah, but he can't finish.
Yeah. So it makes you pretty much useless.
I mean, yeah.
Guys, you know what that's the sound of? You know what you just heard?
That's the boat getting started.
That is Andrew starting up his little rinky-dink boat off Waiters Island. He's trying to go. But the tide's keeping him in right now.
The island is sinking. There's barely an island to be on right now.
Wow.
It's true.
Our houses are underwater, though. Crumbled.
I haven't sold a cocktail at my tiki bar in like...
Tanking.
We're all huddled in like a 10x10... you know, piece of sand right now.
Drinking what the leftovers.
Just hoping. Yeah, we're just downing Jay's inventory right
now. We're just hoping.
All of the Malibu that we can find.
Hoping that things can turn around. What do you think they do with Waiters? What are you going to do with him?
They're going to move him for something small.
If there's a reasonable trade, then they're...
I think he's expiring. If they don't see him as a long-term fit on this team...
Like, yeah, yeah.
I think they have to move him.
I think they'll move him too.
You don't know?
I don't know what they're going to do.
Especially if Cam keeps developing, they can go out and get a piece that makes sense.
Give Cam the minutes that you'd give to Deion, and then just, I mean, even if they don't get a player, like, you have guys that can fill it. Like, play Anthony Moore or more.
Give me some more sink.
No.
Honestly, he's been okay.
He's been better.
He's been okay.
No.
Like, I'd still rather have Deion on the floor than Singler.
I just need Singler to cut his hair.
Why would you rather have Deion than Singler?
Because his skill level is still so much higher. Like,
it
Singler,
is, but like,
but okay,
resulting in what?
What does Singler's result in? Like, Deion at least gets to the line. He makes good passes.
Fight.
Like in that Mavs game, like, you watch him, you're like, man, that's a good pass. Like, he has the skill level. He can do things every now and then. He had a great game in that Dallas game, didn't he?
He's the trash time king.
But like,
man.
He is. Kyle Singler can't even do that. Kyle Singler is not a good passer. He's not a good dribbler. He has to have 10 seconds to make an open
shot. He's a more consistent defender.
He's a more consistent defender, but it's still not like,
I'm not trying to argue that Kyle Singler is
shooter.
Good.
I mean, in historically.
Yeah. I'd still rather.
I just want Morrow. Like, give me Novak too. On some point.
Play Morrow. I think eventually. Yeah. Kossinger's been so bad. Like, I understand this. He's been horrible. But, like, he's proven over the course of his career that this is not the guy that he is. Like, that he can actually shoot the basketball and play. He's never been in this type of role where he's on a really good team where
and
he's
there's high expectations.
Not playing much. Like, it's a really hard probably to be a role player on the Thunder and, like, you're just expected to come out and hit shots. And so he's got to adjust to that role because he started with Detroit and he got to play through all of his slumps. You know,
why is it hard to be a role player and hit and make open shots?
So
like if you're a 3-point shooter.
I mean, think about his career. Like, he played and played
in Spain.
As many minutes as he wanted with Duke. And then he went and played in Europe and played a ton. Went to Detroit. It's a bad team. Played a ton. Like, he's never been in this role before.
Where you come in, you play 15
like he's
minutes
not,
and you
like,
score.
Like, in your head, like, you think of him as a role player, but like, he's like, his career minutes, like, he's Like he's never, like he's playing 10 minutes a game this season. Like he's never done that. He's averaged over 20 minutes a game wherever else he's been. His first year with Detroit, he played 28 minutes a game.
So what do you guys
like that? I mean, I just think that
what has he done? I know, but like what besides his Detroit games 3 years ago, what has he shown you to be like, okay, let's give him 20 minutes?
How did he do last year in this basically that he played for Oklahoma City? I know it's not comparing apples to apples because he played a lot of minutes. How was he last year? I can't remember. I tried to block out most of the end of last season.
He was bad last year.
Was he not very good?
I mean, he shot 37% from three last year.
Which is better than Dion and
Robinson. I mean, if he did that, he would be solidified in the rotation. Like, he's shooting 23% on the season. But the thing is, like, in the three seasons prior to that, he didn't shoot worse than 38% from three. Like, that tells me, like, that's more of the player he is rather than this, like, 23% horrible garbage type player. I just think that I think Donovan had the right idea at the beginning of the season, trying to get him back into a groove. Like, it makes a lot of sense. I think long term, like, he just like the, I guess it's more of the idea right now and like who he was just makes more sense to play him than it does to play Deion Waiters, because now we have a ball handler guy who can get his teammates involved on the second unit. Like Deion doesn't have much of a role anymore. Like, what is his role?
I agree.
You know, and like long term, like if this team can't find a 3-and-D guy, their best option, and it's not a great option. I'm not saying this is a good option for the Thunder, but their best option internally is for Kyle Singler to be better.
You're right. I mean, they're stuck with him anyway. So
that's for sure the hope, right? The idea of Kyle Singler makes way more sense with the second unit and with what they want from a guy than Deion Waiters. But
yes.
Reality just seems to show me that like Deion is still a better option.
He's more talented, without a doubt. He's got more talent, but he's just a guy that always has you begging for more. You know, he just always does. And he's had good games. He's had good stretches. I love him. I would love for him to be a good player. Like, I want that more than most things in life. But I just think he's at a point in his career where it's probably not going to happen. Like, we want him to finish at the basket. Like, he doesn't do it consistently. We want him to be a better 3-point shooter. Like, he's never been that.
Yeah.
We want him to have better habits and to be disciplined. He's not that guy. You know what I mean? Like, he has all the tools. He has everything that you would want in a shooting guard right there. But he just,
I feel like we're doing Deion's memorial service.
He just can't harness it.
Like, yeah. It's about that time.
At some point, like, you just have to understand, like,
yeah.
This is a guy who's going to be awesome in China.
I know.
That's so sad.
It's sad.
You know, one of the things I do take that I thought was kind of a bright spot, and this may be just the me painting the whole thing with, you know, rosy colored, you know, like looking at something, though it's not really what it is. I thought Robertson's been good. He hasn't shot well from the 3-point line. That's not what he's doing, but he's cutting a ton more. And I don't know if that's an adjustment the coaching staff probably made.
It seems like they have.
But he's really good going to the basket.
Oh my gosh, it's so much better.
And he actually is. And maybe, like I said, maybe I'm just completely seeing what I want to see. But it felt like he's been better from when he's getting to the line. He's not getting much to the line, but it has felt like he's been better at the free throw line as well.
Yeah, you can't park him in the corner anymore. Like, you cannot do that. Like, you're just destroying one side of the floor.
Yeah. So he was three, like, against the Mavericks, which once again, it's a terrible game, but he was 3 of 5 from the field, 0 of 1 from the 3-point line, which was like off the side of the backboard. And then 3 of 4 from the free throw line. But if he can do that somewhat consistently,
I mean,
it's a big deal, but he's still the hard thing about a guy that's number one thing he can do is slash is you don't create the space you need. So he's constantly moving to clog the lane.
It's a big problem. It's a big problem. He's a big problem for this team. He's also helpful on the defensive end, and he makes us, I think overall he makes his team better, but he keeps them from being an elite team with his inability to hit a jump shot.
It's like, it reminds me of in the first half of games last year and the year before when they try to get Perk some shots, like get Perk some shots and some points, and then like the rest of the game, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It feels like that with Robertson. Like, Robertson, run as much as you can. We're going to look for you. Get 6 points a game. Cool.
The biggest problem is that he plays a position anymore. That's called shooting guard.
Yeah, exactly.
But the biggest problem is the fact that the rest of the team won't take any sort of defensive responsibility.
I know.
Like, he doesn't play at all at the end of games if Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook could do their job.
Yeah, yeah. Robertson can't be our, should not be our leader and best defender.
Robertson's not coming back in against the Lakers or the Trailblazers if one of those two guys says, you know what, I'm not going to let Damian Lillard and Lou Williams score wide open shots. Lou Williams is hitting wide open three pointers. Drifts to the corner and the Thunder looks around and then sprints out after he's already shot the ball.
Russell Westbrook is top five best player in the world. Easy, but he's one of the biggest problems with the perimeter defense of the Thunder for sure. Let's take some TQs.
And let's move on to some TQs.
Twitter questions.
Our first Twitter question comes from at Brian Cromer, who wants to know, looking objectively and honestly at this roster without any moves, what is its ceiling?
It would be, the ceiling is obviously the top, right? Like, ceiling is,
if everything goes perfectly,
they're in the championship.
Kyle Singler can hit shots.
Yeah.
Robertson is not a waste of space. Yeah. Like, they can, like, if they hit their absolute ceiling, then yeah, they can win the title.
On paper, they look great.
Honestly, I think getting to the Western Conference Finals is that would be a huge accomplishment.
Because they would have to have beaten the Spurs in the second round.
Right.
Yeah. It's hard for anybody to see any team outside of the Spurs and Golden State playing in the finals. But
it's possible.
It's absolutely possible.
And losing in the second round is not embarrassing this year.
Not to the Spurs.
Right.
Right? Like, not,
well, to the Thunder, I'm saying.
No.
If you lose to the Spurs, or if you get to the four seed and you lose to the Warriors, like, neither one of those are, you're losing to two what will in the end be
historically
fairly
great
historic.
Teams.
Yeah. 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 So,
I don't,
ceilings at all. I mean, that's,
yeah, they can, they have the pieces to win it all. They have not shown,
yeah,
they have not shown to be able to do that. Like, they, I'm not saying that they will do that, or that, I mean, the chances are like maybe like 5% right now.
Like if I'm picking a team, I'm not picking the Thunder right now.
No.
I'm picking the three other teams above
them. They don't
them.
Deserve to be picked.
I'm probably picking the Spurs, man.
I know.
God,
man.
The Spurs. Did you watch that game last night?
Parts. I watched the end.
So Cavs come out just killing them. Like, dang, right. Cavs look great. Like, Spurs defense doesn't look that good. And then all of a sudden, it's the end of the third quarter, they have like 65 points.
The Cavs bench is a problem.
Yes, the Cavs bench is a problem.
David West outscored their bench by himself.
Yeah, the Spurs are so good. That Spurs defense is ridiculous.
Yeah, they're really good. I was watching it, and the Cavs are up by one, and then I turn the channel, and I turn it back, and Spurs are up by eight. I said, what?
I know.
They're good, man. And Danny Green has been horrible. And if he gets good again.
You know who wasn't awesome in the fourth quarter, though? Hmm. LeBron.
He's had a weird season.
Of jump shots last night.
Kawhi was unbelievable on him last night.
Yeah, some of that was that. But the points that I didn't watch the whole game, so I'm speaking a very small reference point. But the parts I watch, he's just missing shots.
Yeah, he was just missing shots.
That, but
he's had a weird season.
I think the Cavs. And here's the thing to remember about the Thunder, and the same thing for the Cavs this year is the Cavs were very aggressive in the trade before the trade deadline.
Yeah,
getting Mozgov changed their whole entire and Shump,
J.R. Smith, too.
And J.R. Yeah, so all three of those huge pieces of what they did in the run of the finals.
Yeah.
I think the Thunder have a move or two that they're going to make, and I think the Cavs probably are looking to make a move as well. Maybe we give them
the Cavs,
DJ Augustine.
The Cavs took off whenever they traded Deion.
Ooh.
Wow. This feels so
Cavs
sad.
Cavs are already looking to offload Mozgov too, I think. Mozgov is losing his place on that team quickly.
I just would run Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love.
I would too.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
I mean, and it's sense. Great.
Guys, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at Max Wilbert, and he wants to know, what does he have to sell to the devil in order for the Thunder to start playing to their potential?
Like an elbow. Like a thing where maybe you can't really tell that the body part is gone, but it's pretty important.
Are you selling control of your elbow to the devil?
Oh, God. Oh, that gets really dangerous.
Right.
It's like bowing people.
Yep. Just everywhere you go, you're just elbowing people in the face.
You couldn't go anywhere.
No.
That's a pretty big thing to sell.
Yeah, never mind. I don't think the devil would need that much.
I love the fact that we're taking this question so literal.
He asked it.
I know. Like, I don't think, I mean, maybe he's just using it as a phrase.
But when you're dealing with the devil, he's going to want more.
He's going to want more than what is fair, you know?
That's true.
Going to try to get your brain.
It's not fair. It's not fair.
Like, he wants your soul to be, like, good at guitar. You know what I mean? It's like, that's not fair, devil. But, you know, you make the deals you make.
Then you get some tasty licks.
Hey.
What's the next question?
So I do have a quick question for Andrew. And because we touched on a little bit in a conversation this week. Is the potential / lack of effort / whatever it is that you want to define what's happened last week or last 3 weeks, is that a player pride issue? Is that a coaching issue? Is it both? Is it just it's the season and that's what happens?
It's probably both. I mean, you have an inexperienced head coach who has never coached an 82-game schedule. Like, he just hasn't. And you have guys on the bench who have done it before, but they're the assistant coaches. They want Donovan to lead. I think it's probably partly a coaching problem, and then also it's a lazy player problem too. So I think they go hand in hand for sure.
Of all of it,
I don't think either one is isolated. Yeah. I think they kind of go hand in hand at this point. I mean, Popovich, if he was coaching the Thunder, like, they wouldn't play like this.
No,
you know what I mean. It just wouldn't happen.
Guys, our next Twitter question comes from @BBBBB_1234, who wants to know, in 5 years, who will be better, the Timberwolves or the Thunder?
Oh, man. So in 5 years, Ricky Rubio and Gorgui Dieng will be 30. Zach LaVine will be 25. As also, Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins will be 25. Shabazz will be 28. And KG and Andre Miller will be 44. They'll be really, if they can keep this core together.
But what's crazy is they're gonna really get another really good pick in what could be a pretty good draft again.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, they're not gonna get Ben Simmons, and I don't think
how do you know?
God, Lord.
What if they had like the three number one picks?
Minnesota at least deserves it, right? In some way, like, they're the team that's still trying to win basketball games.
Yeah, they're just really bad.
They're trying now.
They're trying.
Colangelo's changing that, but
they got Ish.
There's teams that are intentionally being terrible in order to try to get. Like, I don't like that. Yeah. And so anyway, but it's what it is. But I don't know how old are Russ?
Okay, Russ and KD will be 32. Ibaka 31. And then, like, you have, like, if they still have Cam will be 26. Yeah. Adam's 27. Ennis 28. You know, Ennis and Mitch are about the same age. Isn't that weird? It's weird to me.
That makes me less patient with Mitch.
It should.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm Mitch.
Yeah.
Whoa, out?
I am too.
Like, just if he's if we can get something for him right now, it's fine.
Yeah,
he just doesn't fit.
Yeah.
The team going forward.
Yeah.
There's no room.
Anyways, if the Thunder can keep their core together, they'll be way better than the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
But I love watching
the Timberwolves.
They'll both be
a fun Northwest Division matchup.
They'll both be very good, but like an experienced Thunder squad.
Yeah, 31, 32.
That's basically the end of their primes where they're like really know how to play the game. And if like Donovan like sticks around, like they'll have a more team oriented offense. And they'll like theoretically, if these two teams fast forward 5 years, it's the same two teams. Like, the Thunder will be better.
Absolutely.
But the Timberwolves will certainly be up and coming. It'll be interesting to see what they do going forward. I think Towns will be ridiculous.
You forgot about Nemanja Bjelica.
Bjelica. He's kind of old, though, isn't he?
Well, he's still going to be there. Great player, man. Wow.
Great.
Bjelica.
Our next Twitter question comes from @ProfessorBot, who wants to know, will DJ Augustine be on the Thunder by season's end? Any other predictions on who might not be here?
So we've answered this question like every week for the last 6 weeks. The reality is that there's a discontent with the roster.
It's like every game you watch, you're like, all right, time to think about trades.
And everybody thinks it's one player. And so I think because Professor Bott asked a question about it. And I think that even going to A Stern Licked 35, is asking a similar question. Rank the Thunder trade assets, McGarry, Dion, DJ, Alex Abrines, and Hustis. And I think if you ask those questions, that's the answers, right?
Yeah.
Guys that are going to be not possibly on the roster. I think DJ's a very high likelihood of not being on the roster.
Yeah.
Because he's still, there's going to be a team that's going to have an injury. Like, I even think the Nets are one. When you talked about Bogdanović, Bone dong.
Bone dong.
Like being somebody that could be a good fit. Well, they need a point guard right now. Yeah. They don't want to be very good anyway, but I don't know why, 'cause they don't have a pick. But
you don't want to develop Shane Larkin?
They they're like the same player, and so, like DJ and Shane Larkin.
But Shane Larkin can float in the air.
Yep.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
Anyways,
it's very impressive.
Yeah, DJ, because he's expiring, I think that he could be dealt. I don't, I mean, Presti doesn't like guys to just expire and go away typically. So.
No, but he does
at least
like
tries
having
to get trade. Oh gosh, what is it called when you get like a
trade exception?
Trade exception. Yeah, I mean, like just having the roster spot may be more valuable than having DJ Augustine.
Yeah, give Huston those minutes.
He does like having a third point guard, though.
He does.
Yeah,
on the bench all the time.
Yeah, but you can go.
You can go.
Yeah, you can
somebody.
Get whatever.
Sebastian is somewhere out there somewhere.
Hey, oh, Telfair.
Bring back Telfair.
Man, he was great.
I'll be honest with you. I'd love to have Ish Smith back on the team.
I would too.
He's good, man.
He's great
for
man.
A third point guard. Anyway,
pretty good.
Yeah,
can't get him.
But to jump, sorry, I didn't mean to jump on top of Luke's job here. But if you're looking at those Thunder trade assets between McGarry, Dion, DJ, Alex DeBrins, Huston, Novak's not on that list, but he's the highest paid expiring, right?
Yeah, I think like Mitch McGarry's got to be the first. I think because the other options aren't great, Dion's second. Probably Alex DeBrins is probably third because he's at least interesting. Like you don't really know what he can bring, and then like Novak, DJ are next, and then like Josh Huston is like it's just
Huston would be more likely to just be waived at some point or
well they just released. They just they'll decline his third year option or whatever it is for his rookie scale deal.
You know your assets, your trade assets are bad when the guys that are like more mysterious or like that you don't know that well are a better trade asset than like Dion Waiters, you know, like Mitch McGarry and Abrines, like they're really interesting and oh, they could be good still.
That's part of it is like they're on rookie. They would be on rookie scale deals and they still have potential. Like teams, like there's a lot of teams that want that.
Dude, and people, I mean, McGarry was horrible on defense, but there were, you remember the Portland last year, I mean, he was really good.
Like he can,
and
he
teams
can
saw score. That and GM saw that. He would have been a lottery pick if his back wasn't so bad coming out of the year, and he's had 2 years of having very minimum injuries to that back, and so I don't know. I mean, people could take a chance on him.
And the problem is when they really look into him and see how weird he is as a person, then they're like, ugh.
Yeah, that may be it.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think that he has a little bit of value.
I do. I think so too.
Yeah.
Relative to those other guys, for sure.
All right. Our next Twitter question comes from at Cody Kaiser, who wants to know, what would we trade to get CJ McCollum to the Thunder?
Serge Ibaka. You want to trade Serge Ibaka for CJ McCollum?
No.
No.
You want to trade Steven Adams for CJ McCollum?
No.
No.
All right. That's it.
I like CJ McCollum as a person, probably as much or more than I do as a player. I think he's a good player.
Yeah.
Right? He's really good. He's the most improved player in the league.
But does he fit any sort of need for this team? A six man
shooting guard.
Yeah. Six man shooting guard. Close.
But he's not going to be your starting shooting guard.
I think he could be. Why couldn't he be?
Is he any better at defense than some of the guys that we were or is he any better at defense than, I mean, he's probably a little better than Morrow, but
he's better than Morrow. Morrow's bad.
I always say Morrow. Like it's not an A.
No.
Morrow.
Like
Morrow.
Anthony Morrow. Morrow.
Morrow. Morrow.
Like Bone Marrow.
So he is better than Morrow.
Like Bone Marrow.
So he would be the best. He'd be better than all three of our shooting guard options. So I understand that. But am I going to trade anybody that could actually really him?
And the Blazers aren't trading CJ McCollum. What reason did they have to trade CJ McCollum?
He's cheap as crap right
They've
now.
They've got some good pieces going forward. Alan Crabb, I think, is a good player.
Yeah, he's a good Anthony Morrow for them.
Maybe a little. I mean, he's just younger. Is probably the reason he's a little better defensively.
Yeah.
I mean, Damian Lillard's good. I don't hate Plumlee.
I like Al-Farouq Aminu. Yeah. He's been like so good for them. He's been really good.
I think they need one backcourt or front court.
Yes.
Well, they've got a bunch of guys that are like, they got like the Ed Davis, Noah Vonleh. Like they got these guys that are just like, maybe one of them will be good.
Yeah, Vonleh is probably the one that
Vonleh's
really
the guy. Yeah. We'll see.
Anyway.
What happened to Myers? There's a lot of potential for Myers.
He was really hurt most of the season.
He's struggled. I just think that he's like better as a basically like 3-and-D 5, and they've been playing him strictly at the 4.
Yeah.
And so I think there's no matchup advantage for him at the 4.
Yeah. So. And that's your Blazers moment.
It's your Blazers moment.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at CIC66, who wants to know if Cantor played in the 90s, could he have been an all-star?
Absolutely not.
Tell me if he's better than any of these guys. Hakeem Olajuwon,
no.
Shaq,
no.
David Robinson,
no.
Patrick Ewing,
no.
Alonzo Mourning,
no.
Dikembe Mutombo,
no.
Vlade Divac,
no.
Rick Schmitz,
no.
He's not making an all-star team.
Not a chance. He's not 90s was the time of the center, man, and they were all freaking so good.
Yeah, I understand the question in that. Yeah. Like he's better suited for the 90s style play.
Now, in the early 2000s, he could have been maybe in that running somewhere.
Maybe.
Some of those guys were old.
Yeah, when all those guys were, I mean, it's like the dinosaurs becoming extinct. And like, who was it that made the all-star team at center for, I think he played for the Hornets. Some guy who really sucked.
One of the things that's funny, though, to think about is the reminder that, like, I don't know if it's the position went extinct, because if you had a guy that was like some of the guys that you just listed, that position wouldn't be extinct anymore.
So, well, I'm not saying it's an extinct position. I just don't think you have like the talented guys.
Oh, yeah. And like nobody tries to be. Every big guy in high school and college tries to shoot the three, tries to learn how to dribble. And that's an important thing. But you don't get Shaqs anymore.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have guys like Andre Drummond, and like, it's just like you're either like super skilled or you're just a role man.
Yeah.
And then like the only guy who isn't that, who is like has the potential to be one of those guys, is a head case in DeMarcus Cousins. You know,
and by far the only one potentially in the league right now that could have hung with any of those guys you just mentioned
is Boogie. Yeah.
And even he's pulling his game out further and further too,
because it's what the NBA is moving to.
It's, right.
Yeah. I just think we talked about it just in hypotheticals, which I don't really like doing this. Like, who would have won between a made up team or a real team 10 years ago?
Yeah.
But just like if Shaq were coming into the league,
it would change.
Nobody
everything.
Would say, oh, it's not a league of centers anymore.
It like, would change everything.
He would be scoring 45 and 20 a night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Todd McCullough would come back into the league to play for somebody.
Right? Yeah. So, anyway, it's just a different kind of league, but...
Yeah.
No, Cantor would not have been a 90s All-Star.
No, not even close.
All right, our next Twitter question comes from @LilBit77, who wants us to compare Harden, Jackson, and Payne first-year stats.
So this is kind of an interesting little exercise, especially if you go with the per 36 minutes. You go with like their averages, it's not that great. But you go per 36. So per 36, James Harden scored 15.6 points per game. Jackson, who didn't play all that much.
No.
He played like 11 minutes a game. He still averages overall more than Cam does now. But... Cam averages per 36, 17.5 points per game per 36. Assist numbers, Jackson is at 3.8, Harden is at 5.1, Cameron Payne's 5.2. Like, these, I don't know. I mean, per 36, Cam Payne is 17 points, almost, or 5.5 assists, and, five rebounds. I mean, that's like really like James Harden-y numbers.
The sample size is so small for Cam. Like, just in the fact that he's only played the last 10 games.
But even if like think of the eye test. Like, compare Cam's games, the few he's played this year as a rookie, compared to like Jackson's.
See, I can't remember much of Jackson's rookie year.
You don't think that he can shoot 47% from three for the rest of his career?
No, I think so. Here's the hard part for me is I cannot think of Reggie Jackson outside of last year. I can't.
Oh, really?
Like, I cannot get past the fact that I hated him so much last year.
Yeah.
He was good, man. He did not have a good rookie season, but they were starting to transition him into the backup point guard.
Now, is it his rookie year that Russell went out against the Rockets and he played the point guard against the Grizzlies? Was that his rookie year?
That was his rookie year. But it was really Derek Fisher that took over a bunch of minutes.
That's right. But Reggie started, fairly certain. Anyway, but...
he did.
I think Cam's special. I think Cam's different than both of those guys.
He's different, for sure.
Because I can't compare statistics. I think the sample size is too small, but I test.
Yeah.
I don't remember Reggie enough.
Cam is like way more of a like typical prototype like point guard than Reggie was, or than even Harden. I mean, Harden's not a point guard.
He can just shoot. Like, he can shoot. Yeah,
and
he can
shoot.
And that's the one thing I was going to say is I think Cam, the thing that he does that I like probably better than both of those guys as a fit with this team is he doesn't need the ball in his hand.
Yeah.
Reggie would get in trouble a lot because.
Yes.
You remember, I remember Kevin, like, the guys on the court, like, looking and be like, pass the freaking ball. Yeah. And Cam just, he'll pass it immediately and run off to the side. And he seems to be one of the four players or three players on the team that actually know what Billy Donovan wants.
Yeah, yeah, knows where the players are. He has these cross-court passes that are like, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, and yeah. And he's a good passer. I think Harden obviously last year was an MVP candidate, not playing as well this year, but I'm not ever going to say campaign could be Harden. Right?
No, I mean, like, you just look at like the free throw rate is like where like separates everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, Harden, like, he's not going to be Harden.
Which is fine.
You don't need him to be Harden.
I don't want him to be Harden because I want him to stay on this team for the long term. I know.
If Harden was just a little bit worse than what he was, he'd probably still be here.
And Reggie, the attitude was the final straw for Reggie, in my opinion. But they were just different. They're just different players.
Yeah, they're very different.
And I mean, Reggie Jackson's very good, but like the idea of campaign moving forward, like he's just a much better fit because he can shoot.
Who defensively compare? Like, how do you compare that? If it's too early,
none of them are any good.
Gosh, we can't. At least
especially
can't
with
try.
Rookie, especially with rookie years, it's like no one looks that good as a rookie.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they all have potential.
Flaw, yeah.
They all had the body type, the potential to be defenders. You know, Reggie Jackson has this like crazy wingspan, but he's not a good defender. Harden is I mean, he's been made fun of because of his defense, and then Cam has also been not good. So,
man, Harden was better on the Thunder. Like, I remember Harden being a good defender in games with the Thunder, like against Kobe.
He was a good
and against other people.
One on one.
Yeah,
he was good.
Yes,
one on one. But the Thunder have a knack for finding guys who get lost off ball.
Great one on one defenders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's an interesting conversation. I think we can really look at, like, this will be like more of like a postseason type look where you can see what Cam has done over the course of really a whole half season and see like where his shooting numbers are at. You know, if he settles around 40% from three, like that'd be amazing.
Yeah. I think he has to demand at that point. If he's doing that, he has to be the guy that finishes games.
Oh yeah.
Depending on the matchup.
Yeah.
Right. But I think that for the most part, I think you're right. That's the lineup I think is the most intriguing because then he just puts so much more on the table than anything Morrow does. You know, like you kind of want Morrow to close. Like the idea of that just makes so much sense. But you take a lot off the table when you put Anthony Morrow in the game defensively and then with passing and everything like that.
Cam's athletic enough to at least be around.
He can stay with people, but he will foul them.
Which everything you do is compared to, like, you have to look at how do they match up with the Warriors is how every one of these conversations goes. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway.
I got some trade calls.
Whoa.
Do we want to say goodbye to Billy King?
Well, Billy Kingman. He might make an appearance. Still?
But still, are you...
He's not fired. He's not gone. He's just demoted.
Oh. You're sad.
All right, trade calls. Who wants to be Tayshaun? All right, you're Dell Demps of the Pelicans.
Hello.
That's not how...
me. You
know, talk.
He's kind of got an urban...
What?
An urban way of talking.
It's me, Dill Dilps.
That's Luke's urban.
That's your urban. Okay. Ring, 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 ring.
Yo, what's up? What's up?
Hey, it's Daryl Morey.
What's up, Daryl?
It's a little too urban.
Oh, too urban.
I'll say he's slightly urban.
Okay. Okay. Are we talking about like gentrified? This is like a gentrified neighborhood.
Yeah.
How about
okay.
This?
All right.
He's Japanese.
Oh, hello.
Did you not know that that he's Dell Demps is Japanese?
Daryl Morey.
That sounded like a Japanese Dikembe Mutombo. Anyways,
okay. Daryl Morey.
All right.
We'd like to acquire Ryan Anderson and Quincy Pondexter from you, and we'll give you back Terrence Jones and Ty Lawson.
No. Coupon. No. Listen, coupons out the rest of the year. Who else are you giving me? Ryan Anderson.
He'll maybe help you in the playoffs.
He's way more consistent than a guy like Terrence Jones.
Oh, man.
No. I'm actually taking Ryan Anderson from you. Terrence Jones is really good. Oh, yeah, forward. Yeah.
I'm giving you Ryan Anderson and Coupon. You're giving me Terrence Jones and Ty Lawson. I'm still.
Don't you want to solidify your point guard spot?
That in no way does that solidify my point guard spot.
Click.
Yeah. I don't know if that's such a. I don't know. Yeah, it helps the Rockets, but it's like
I think the Rockets would like to do that because Terrence Jones has not been very good.
If the Pelicans would play Anthony Davis at the five, like start him at the five and then start Terrence Jones with them, I kind of like the idea of that.
Yeah, the idea sounds
like it's okay.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Ring.
Hello.
Larry Bird.
Oh my God, the legend. Well,
we would like to, Ryan Anderson's expiring, and we just don't really think he's going to stay with you guys. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense for him.
Oh, he's not. I'll tell you straight up, he's not.
We'll trade you the expiring contracts of Chase Buttinger, Jordan Hill, and the prospect Solomon Hill for Ryan Anderson and Dante Cunningham.
Oof. I don't think that's enough. Both of those guys are role players for us. We really like Dante Cunningham way more than we should, but we like him. And I just think, I know he's leaving, but I need more for that if you're going to trade me midseason.
Well, second round pick? Do the
That's what I wanted. There it is. There it is.
Click. Ring.
Yo.
It's Chris Wallace.
What's up, Cruz?
We'd like to trade you Jeff Green for Ryan Anderson straight up.
Yep. I'm doing that.
They're both expiring.
Oh. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure I'm re-signing Jeff Green.
You could re-sign Jeff Green.
Yeah. I'm re-signing Jeff Green. I'm doing that.
And will you like
it? I'm doing that.
Will you like it, though?
No. I like the idea of it.
Yeah. Ring.
Hello.
Hello, it's Sam Presti.
Oh, my God. Hey, man. You've been struggling. What's it feel like taking heat from the public for the first time this season?
Oh my God. The public is very short-sighted, and we've got the long view, so we're not panicking.
Long View, one of my favorite songs.
I used to play it on the bass guitar.
Did you really? Why didn't you play it on guitar, man? I play drums because I'm urban.
We would like to trade you Dion Waiters, DJ Augustine, and Mitch McGarry, and get back Ryan Anderson.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Wait. Oh, who'd you say? Dion Waiters, DJ Augustine.
Mitch McGarry. Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
For Ryan Anderson?
For Ryan Anderson.
Yeah. Do it.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Yes. Do it.
I think the Pals do that, man.
I was just thinking about... Yeah, because DJ and Mitch don't play at all. Yeah, I'd do it. Do the Pels do it?
Why not?
I don't know.
Why not?
Tyreek Evans, Dion Waiters.
Dion Waiters
like,
is
you
not,
just have a like, lot of like...
He's just view him as an expiring contract.
Okay.
And it's basically Mitch McGarry. You get basically...
So
you,
you're giving them space to do something in the offseason.
You get Mitch McGarry and they just don't lose out completely on Ryan Anderson. That's what I mean. That's what.
Yeah, and then you can, and then DJ Augustine is nice for that team. It's nice to have a veteran point guard for that team.
Yeah, he may
coming
stick
off the bench. Yeah, all right, it makes sense.
Wouldn't that be great for the Thunder?
That would be so good. There's no way that happens.
Nope.
I don't know, man.
How does that
ring?
Yo.
Pat Riley here.
Oh, Pat. To Pat? Nope. Just Pat.
Hassan Whiteside's driving us crazy. We need to give you Hassan Whiteside, Chris Anderson, and Josh McRoberts for Ryan Anderson.
There's,
and Dante
there's
Kennedy.
No way I'm thinking that. There's no way in hell I'm doing that trade.
Del Demps doesn't take that deal?
Because one, I don't want Whiteside with Anthony Davis.
Why not? You block everything.
I don't care.
You block all the shots.
All the shots.
Anthony Davis needs some sort of stability and maturity on this team. For this team to do anything in the future, I can't handle the risk of Whiteside.
Wow, I really thought you'd bite on that.
Wow, sorry.
You once said Hassan Whiteside's better than Rudy Gobert.
Oh, yeah, I did say that. Yep. I kind of still think that.
That's why I thought you... No, you cannot think that. Ring.
Hello.
Gar Foreman here.
Gar, wow, are you like the fish?
Huh?
Does your nose look like a gar thing? Anyway, sorry, I'm urban. I'm thinking about weird things.
I'm from the
I just,
Okay, go on.
From the Bulls, we give you Taj Gibson and Tony Snell for Tyreek Evans.
Yeah, I'd probably do it. Drew Holiday's coming on. Eric Gordon's looking good. Tyreek Evans is kind of like, he's kind of in my space. He's kind of in my grill. I can start Anthony Davis next year at center. Taj Gibson right next to him. I like it.
So I'm talking about
Tony Snell off the bench. Give me something. Coupon's done. Thanks, Gar. Nice talking to you.
Wouldn't that be great for the Bulls?
Yeah, that'd be cool for the Bulls.
Be great. Tyreek for the Bulls. Ring, 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 ring.
If they start him over Derrick Rose, yeah, they'd love that. Hello.
Hello, it's Billy King.
Oh, my.
Is this a covert operation? I'm in
Frank Zonin's
office currently.
Hold on.
He went to the bathroom.
I have to change phones. This phone might be tapped. Hold on. That was me changing phones.
Hello?
Okay. Hey, Billy, what's up? I'm in the bathroom.
I thought I'd make one more deal before I step out. I'm not technically fired. I'm still in the organization.
Billy, this is crazy, man. I'm really into stuff like this, though. Okay. All right, what's up?
Okay. Listen up. We got to hurry because I can hear the toilet flushing.
Let's go. I'm ready to say yes.
We got it. Okay. Oh, we got...
Billy? Billy, get out of here, Billy.
Oh, God.
He was just trying to trade you Thaddeus Young for Ryan Anderson and Luke Babbitt. We're not going to do that. Click.
Oh,
Billy.
Dang it, Billy. That would be great. Thaddeus Young and AD together? I'd like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All of these, though...
Why in the world would the Brooklyn Nets do that?
They wouldn't,
because he wouldn't... I mean, you get Brooke Lopez and Ryan Anderson back together again, the boys, the bros.
I guess, and then Ryan Anderson probably goes somewhere else, and then you actually have some relief.
They have space anyways. They don't... I mean, what are they going to...
They do have space?
What do they need relief from?
Oh, I didn't know they had... I thought they needed some space.
They need picks, man.
Nice that color printer looks.
Ring, ring, ring. Those are great prints. Hello.
Masai here.
What's up? Masai, my man.
My name is Masai Mujiri.
I need to come up there.
I don't know how to talk to Masai.
Yeah, well, this is... He sounds like Masai. Way more normal than this.
Okay, we'll give you Pat... I don't know how to talk like him. Patrick Patterson and Terrence Ross for Ryan Anderson and Dante Cunningham.
You know what? I was just talking to Pat today. And now you're talking about two Pat. Sorry, I didn't listen to your trade. What'd you say?
Pat and T. Ross for Ryan Anderson and Dante Cunningham.
No. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
Besides, what's better? I don't know.
I think it'd be great for the Raps, for the playoffs. Yeah. I think Ryan Anderson might stay with the Raps.
Yeah.
And then, like, you have control of Patrick Patterson for two more years. He's like a poor man's Ryan Anderson, basically.
Right.
He makes less than
does. I like Tupac.
And but you get Terrence Ross, too, who is like...
We don't know if he's
a guy.
Good.
He's
yeah.
a guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's a dude.
Yeah. We don't know. What are the Raptors going to do? Like, this is real. Like, say this year they lose again in the first round. Or even if they win just
They're
going to
fire
round.
Their coach and re-sign DeRozan and try again.
Over and over again?
Get another go.
I don't know.
What else are you going to do?
I don't know.
You have a rabid fan base who loves this team. Like,
yeah.
You're not going to, like, strip this team.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to be good. Like, that's what you're going to do.
Yeah. You're just going to be good until they're not good anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to contend.
Like, okay. If you're the... I mean, you're basically just trying to be like the Grizzlies, basically.
Yeah.
In Memphis, who have been awesome. The fans love it. Everybody goes to games. They pack the house. And you do that as long as you can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, unless you have one of the top five players in the league, you don't have a shot at the title anyways.
Don't you think, like...
You just want to be good.
Don't you think, like, when the Grizzlies were best and Marc Gasol and Zeebo were the best, like, that's better than this Raptors team with DeRozan and Kyle Lowry? I think they had a better, like, contending probability.
Yeah. They were better. They're a better team. But I'm just saying, like, not that they're, like, compared to that team, like, in any way, but I'm just saying that in a similar way, that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just think there's not a lot of great options. Because Ryan Anderson's expiring, like, there's not a lot you can get for him.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought Hassan Whiteside is probably the best thing that you could get for him. I don't think that the Heat would do that.
Just don't like Hassan Whiteside with Tyreek Evans, Drew Holiday, Eric Gordon, and Anthony Davis. Like, that team, nothing's happening.
The team is jacked up.
Yeah.
Like, the Pelicans have a really jacked up roster.
Yeah.
I think, and remember how much everybody was like, oh, the Thunder should have signed Alvin Gentry. Like, he would be a clear upgrade, and he's like going to turn this Pelicans team into a 50-win team.
Oh, man.
They've had injuries, but still, like, they've not been good, even whenever they're completely healthy. They have not been good.
Yeah.
They lost to a Mavericks team. They lost to the Mavericks team that we just killed, to the J.J. Barea Mavs a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's not good. Great.
Guys, let's just say what stats of the week.
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say
mine
what?
Is from what? Last night.
What?
I can't Jimmy read Bowen lips,
had 53
Jay.
Points
say
last
what?
Night.
Boy.
Stat of the week. And I know he's had a 50-point game before now, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I think he has. 51 or something.
Yeah.
But, like, I still don't think of him as a high-volume scorer. So when that happens, it really makes me say, what?
What? It was against what? The Sixers.
It makes me say, what?
It was against the Sixers in overtime.
Yeah. What
yeah.
in the world?
But it's, like, still 53 points.
I found something I thought was funny. So last night, Steph Curry scores a lot of points. It doesn't really matter. That's not the
he
point.
He does it, man.
But he had his dunk. He dunked at some point in the game.
He did dunk.
His first shot that wasn't a three-pointer. It was in the third quarter, which is just awesome. He's only had two dunks this season, but ESPN Stats and Info put something out. I said, what two? You know who has only had two dunks this season?
Kevin Durant.
Tim Duncan.
Oh.
Tim Dunking?
He has his name.
Tim Dunking only has two dunks.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to me. I don't know.
If they should call him Two Dunking.
I don't know. I just thought it was funny for a guy that plays center to have two dunks.
Yeah.
That is pretty.
I mean, it's not surprising knowing him, but yeah.
That's really interesting.
Two dunking.
That's interesting.
The number one point guard in points per shot in the league this year is Steph Curry. The number two point guard in points per shot in the league is, any guesses?
Campaign.
Nope.
Hold on, points per shot.
Damian Lillard.
Nope.
Dang it, hold on, hold on.
Russell Westbrook.
It's going to be somebody ridiculous.
It's definitely not Russell Westbrook.
Langston Galloway.
No. I like you're that's in the right Galloway. Direction.
Jordan Clarkson.
He makes very little money. He was a 10-day contract last year.
Ish.
He plays. No. Oh. He plays in the East.
Ish.
Is he a starter?
A guy that everybody went to high school with, Tyler Johnson for the Heat.
Oh, oh wow. Oh, my God. He went to every high school in America.
He really did. But, yeah, he's number two in points per shot among point guards this season, which I thought was really is really crazy.
Every like, time I watch him, I think, like, he's pretty good.
He's good. Like he's legitimately he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's. I mean, that's why they were able to trade Chalmers away. And he can play a little bit of two. I like it, man.
Yeah. You know, I just don't like his face.
You know what's making me say what? Steven Adams slams.
Oh, man.
He's been slamming it lately, and I love it. And every time I see it, I say, what?
He's great. I love Steven Adams. He does exactly what you want him to do and nothing else.
I like pretty much everything about him.
I love
looks,
him.
The way he's been playing.
I know.
Yeah, they maybe need to diversify that the pick
portfolio.
And roll, pick and roll alley-oop. Like... it's like the only play they do. I'm like, okay, people are figuring it out.
But like kind of, not really.
Yeah,
like,
but I mean, the thing with it is that you're just picking your poison. Russell Westbrook is going to blow by
but
you.
The funniest one was when I was watching the Timberwolves, and there was, I think, six straight plays where they ran an Ennis-Russ pick and roll, and Russ just kept passing to Ennis, and Ennis was just right to the rim. I was like, what? Have you guys seen a pick and roll before? Like...
They're a young team. Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel with about the Dele Tristan Thompson alley-oop, which is like literally every time Dele goes to the basket, he wants to throw an oop to Tristan Thompson. It's like, how does no one know this now? He does it. They do it like three times a game.
Poison. Like, okay, just stay on
Dele. No, it's like, just stay by Tristan Thompson. What are you doing like doubling Dele? Or like, you know,
we gotta stop Dellavedova.
Like, man, he's kind of middle speed. We gotta get on him.
He's been pretty good this season, though.
He has been good, but he's still.
Yeah,
very
I mean,
predictable.
Yes. People should have that figured out by now.
Guys, are you miffed? And are you peeved?
Miff!
Miff!
Miff! Miffed and peeved.
I'm miffed. I'm not sleeping much this week because I got a sick kid and he's not letting me sleep all that much.
What
so...
a donger. A
lot of coughs and sneezes at night.
Yeah, man.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
That's cough. The worst.
Got a sneezy baby.
Is it
both of them?
They've taken turns being sick.
That's
fine. Yeah, R2 would wake up and go, owie! And then I wouldn't sleep ever again.
You aren't like, we're laughing and you're like,
yeah, like seriously, guys, this yeah. is,
I'm no, you actually, guys think I'm being serious.
It's a real story.
Are you miffed?
I'm not, man. I got nothing.
Are you blessed? And
no, man. I'm just life's good. I'm going grateful? To the game tonight. Blessed I talked about that last week, and got a good weekend planned. I got nothing.
Cool.
I'm the Thunder miff and peeve me this week, but yeah, whatever.
That's every week.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm miffed. I live with my brother, and he likes to sleep like in freezing temperatures. So every night he waits for me to go to sleep and then comes out and turns on the AC. It's winter time.
No.
I swear, every morning I wake up like, oh, God, dang it.
What temperature are we talking about?
I mean, it's like mid-60s in my room, but it's like, that's cold that's when cold. It's cold outside.
That's a cold you know what house.
I
mean?
That's how we, like, our house, we keep it 65 at night.
I keep it at 60, and the highest I ever get is 67.
Really?
67. Like,
that's too cold. I like wake up from being too cold.
Yeah, it's too cold, man.
Another blanket.
What you
man.
Need to do is get a nest, so then you just lay in bed and you get it to where it just turns up at the right time.
Like, well, I'm thinking of a real nest.
Mm-hmm.
Do they turn up?
Yeah, dude. I do it
turn
for my phone.
Up.
Turn up.
Okay.
I do it for my phone.
What's a nest? What are you talking about?
It's a thermostat.
Oh, I was thinking of a physical nest. Because I was like, oh, is that how birds keep warm?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense.
I should have clarified
right?
a little bit, but you assuming that I meant like grab a bunch of sticks
start
and
getting some gathering
sticks and trash and well, put it in know, a tree and then jump
like
in that.
Like a blanket nest.
Yeah, gather yeah. your twigs. It's time to make a nest.
I actually like thought about it. Like, okay, how could I really wrap like blankets around me in that way?
Get rid of your
probably
bed,
work.
Man.
I'm not miffed or peeved.
Whoa.
I'm just normal.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. I'm just normal.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTDpodcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.